Welcome to the KGP Cine Horizon podcast. My name is Kay, a story writer, film researcher, and avid horror aficionado. On alternate Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock London time, I will be rigorously focusing on every aspect of cinematic horror with interviews, analysis, and short stories. Join me in untying the soul's strings of darkness, exploring the human mind's abyss and their filmic psychological projections. Tonight I am interviewing Padelis Tsibiskakis. Padelis was born in Thessaloniki, Greece. He studied languages and art both in the UK and the US. He earned his degree in modern languages from the University of Lincoln, a Master of Arts in Translation Studies from the University of Portsmouth, and he is a New York University Arts Administration graduate. His passion for poetry gave him recognition in his field, as he has been awarded numerous prizes over the years. Tonight, he is talking about one of his favorite poets, and admittedly mine too, Edgar Allan Poe, his writings, the adaptations, his personal tribulations, but also his legacy. Without further ado, here's the interview. Hi, Padelis. Thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. I do really appreciate it, and I really look forward to hearing what you have to say about Poe.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, please tell us a few things about your work so far.
Okay. I'm a translator and poet from Thessaloniki, Greece. I've published 7 books of poetry until this point. From the get-go, I wanted to incorporate English poetry in my body of work. So all my books are bilingual. They contain poems both in English and Greek, and also translations of poems.
What can you tell us about Edgar Allan Poe in a nutshell? And then, if you please, what made him such a distinctive poet and mysterious personality?
Well, Poe was a genius. There is no other way of describing him. The main characteristic of his work was originality, which is a very, very rare trait amongst poets and writers. About his personality, I guess that he was born that way. To be mysterious as a writer is also a good trait in many ways. But in his life, unfortunately, it was combined with personal tragedy. But at least we can see this in his lovely work.
What was the tragedy?
He was abandoned by his father. His mother died. He grew up in foster care. He showed prominence in the university circles, but personal demons were the cause of his decline, both literally and in his life in general.
Would you say that these demons were the source of inspiration, but also his decline as well?
Definitely. His psychological condition was absolutely related to his work.
I see. Let me ask you something a bit more generic about him. Actually, more about poetry, really. Can poetry be adapted cinematically, giving to the poem the justice it deserves? And if yes, how is this achievable, cinematically speaking only?
Of course, I think that cinematography is an ideal mean to express poetry in a different way. The power of the image is a very strong tool in order to expose a poem's soul and heart.
Tell us, how is this achievable then?
The cinematographer has many weapons with which he can project poetry in a different way. Mainly the sequence of images, the music that he can attach to them, the talent of the actors. It's really a unique result when all of these factors are combined.
Yeah, I can see. I guess it is a prerequisite, though, for all of them to really understand the poem or the poet, actually.
Certainly. It's It's a prerequisite, as you just said. To me, the director is like the head chef. He must be able to work with all the ingredients in a professional way. And also, poetry for me is about concentration of meanings. I used to say that writing 10 poems is like writing 10 different books. You can get all the information and the literary magic of a whole book in just one poem. If the director is able to understand that and adopt it to his work, then the result is going to be very, very pleasing.
There are many adaptations of Poe's work throughout the years from numerous directors and the history of moving image. So, which era would you prefer and why?
I'd say that my favorite era is the silent era, because if we take the music or the sound factor of the equation, then we are left with what the actors had in the first years of cinematography. They have to be a kind of mix between an actor and a dancer. You can see that factors like their makeup is used in order to show their feelings. And also, the work of the director is even more difficult, because we have to take in mind that in the case that the spectators have not read the story or the poem in which the movie is based on, he will have to make them relate and understand that through a few minutes of film. This is definitely my favorite era.
Actually, my previous episode is on the silent era, and well, I found out myself that the films back then, like Nosferatu, for example, they were not actually horror. Nowadays, we consider them as proto-horror films, but back then, horror was not even a genre. So, my question is, how do you think that back then we're perceiving Edgar Allan Poe? Was it poetry of horror, of mystery? How would you describe his poetry?
Well, as you said, in the silent era in general, the typicalities of the film genres were not yet formed, not entirely at least. There was still the element of surprise, of amusement, of not knowing what to expect when watching a film. The movies that we consider horror today were more like then what we consider thrillers today. They wanted to make people feel more, think more. They wanted to project emotion. So the works of Poe were a great pool of inspiration for that.
Are there any particular films that are based on Poe's work that you don't like? And if yes, why don't you like them?
Just like in poetry, in film too, what I don't like is overacting. When you have such great material to start with, it's not great to see the director or his or her actors going overboard with the concept of horror. It's better to base your work on the writing, to not deviate too much from the original story. And this is the way to provide the audience with the real soul of the work. The House of Usher from 1960, it was a bit too much for me, but maybe it was characteristic of the golden era too.
So you just think that the directors may have taken more creative liberties than they should have, is that correct?
Something like that. I don't condemn taking liberties, but liberties have their own limits.
Would you tell us the ones that you particularly like and why?
Of course. I will choose three films from three distinctive eras.
Mm-hmm.
From the silent era, I will choose The Fall of the House of Usher from 1928. From the golden era, I would choose The Pit and the Pendulum from 1961. And from the modern era, I like Terroir from 2014. And also, plus one, The Death of Poe from 2006, which is a mix of biography and storytelling.
Was it something in particular that stood out? Was it the filmmaking technique? Was it the acting? Was it just the adaptation itself? Was it something that made you say, you know, that is what I particularly like in this adaptation?
Yes, I will start with Terroir. I think that even from the title, that Poe himself would choose a similar title for one of his works. I liked the photography, I liked the atmosphere, I liked the acting, and I liked the fact that many hints from the story were very successfully adaptive optically and with the proper technique. From the silent era, I really liked the way the director manipulated the atmosphere of the original story. We can see without hearing, of course, only with the help of music, the wealth of the emotional world of the characters. And for me, it's really amazing how we can conclude a full story without the use of sound, just image and emotion. And from the golden era, The Pit and the Pendulum, I love the way that this movie used a relatively low budget. This is obvious with the costumes and the props used throughout the movie. And despite that, the viewer can relate. The viewer wants to see through the movie, to go to the end. And especially the last moments of this movie, where you can actually see the device, the pit and the pendulum, and also the transformation of the main character. It's a lovely switch, a lovely kick, a lovely way to end a movie.
So now at least we know your three favorite ones.
And also, if you want me to refer to The Death of Poe,
of course.
As an add-on, it's also a low-budget film. People really trying to evoke Poe's atmosphere. And I think in general that it's a very good try. We will never know exactly what happened to Poe during his last days and moments of his life. But this movie is quite evocative.
I'm going to actually read the poems again, and I will keep in mind what you just said. And I'll see actually what you mean then, because I've never really seen them as adaptations. I've just seen them as final products. So I really want to go back to the original source and see how they have been adapted, and maybe read some production details as well, and see maybe if I can find out how much the respective directors knew or had really understood about Poe himself. So thanks for all this information.
My pleasure.
What's your favorite horror film and the number one Poe adaptation? Let's start with the favorite horror film first.
Okay. My favorite horror film is The Exorcist, the original one. Again, it's a movie that I loved even by seeing the poster of the movie. I'm sure you can remember. It's the light shining upon Father Merrin. I love this film because, despite having the main character, the possessed girl, you can see some elements of Poe horror in the form of what's happening behind a closed door. You can hear it, you can feel it, you can see the door moving, you can see the stairs trembling. You do not see actual horror, but the things you start to think when you see all that, I think it's a marvelous way to produce horror.
Because of the so much happening off screen, yes.
Exactly. There are things, many things happening on screen too. But I think that the balance between these two is very artistic and very special. It's really amazing, and I wish I had the chance to watch this movie in a theater. But even through television, through the modern means, it's like you're watching cinema. You're not just watching some movie. And this is allow me to say, a greater regret. During the last years, going to the cinema, it's not like it used to be. There are movies, great movies, of course, but not that many. The movie that it's going to make you say, "I watched a great movie." This is cinema when you leave the theater, and that was one of those movies for sure.
Well, the only consolation in what you say is that we still have great European cinema, but also international cinema as well. I'm a huge fan of the Korean cinema, to be honest. But also European cinema, but I think that the American independent cinema is performing miracles as well. So it's a shame that you can only watch these films in very selective cinemas, which is a dying breed, really. The ones that used to be around the corner, now it's just the era of multiplex, I guess.
I know what you mean, because when I was studying in New York many, many years ago, it was a prerequisite of my course, of my degree, to go and watch certain movies and certain theater productions, off-Broadway, most of them. And it was, let's say, a year of discovery.
I remember you telling me years ago where I think that you went to school over there as well, didn't you?
Yes.
And I remember you telling me that you were at school at the time where the film Cobra came out with Sylvester Stallone, and that kids were walking around with a toothpick in their mouth. Do you remember well?
Of course. You know, the younger you are, the broader the perspectives. But
yeah.
Some movies of the 80s are really going in the cult dimension as we talk. And I think Cobra is definitely one of them. Or movies like Red Heat and many others.
Yeah, they had quite the societal impact.
Exactly. And more so if you were just a schoolboy or a youngster.
Yeah, I guess that the younger you are, the more it gets under your skin and the more it affects you and actually your personality as well. I think that you empathize or somehow sympathize more with what you see. What's your number one Poe adaptation?
I will stick with The Fall of the House of Usher from 1928. And I really recommend this film. You can watch it on YouTube. It's available to watch, and also the music coverage is modern. It's been redone recently, and I think that you will like it.
I'll get back to you with that. So that's the film that I'm going to start with.
It's also quite a short one. You know, at the time, film was expensive, cameras were expensive, so films were not particularly long.
Yeah, the feature films were closer to short films nowadays, I guess.
Exactly.
I have one last question for you. What is your greatest fear?
My greatest fear? Well, I really hate idleness, so I fear of seeing myself as of no use on this planet. Maybe it has to do with spiritual work or manual labor. To me, it doesn't matter. It's the same. I want to live, not to just exist.
Say that I'm a genie and I come out of a bottle. And I'm saying to you, hey, Padelis, I'm giving you this one chance to make an impact. With what you know, your abilities and your skills, what way would you choose to make this world a better place?
Very interesting question. I would like to make a poetry available to everyone. I would like to make everyone want to read more poetry. I would like to make more people able to see what poetry really is. And to me, this is enough to make the world a much better place. Maybe you can say I'm a dreamer, like someone has already said, but to me, it's not a small feat to make people more aware of art, more aware of the good things that poetry and art in general can offer. Poetically speaking, maybe a poem like The Raven. When The Raven first circulated, made Poe a celebrity, let's say. He didn't make much money out of it, but the impact that this poem had and still has today is unquestionable.
I have read The Raven. It had an impact on me as well. Have you watched The Raven with John Cusack?
Can you remind me, it's the 2012 movie?
Yes, it is indeed.
I'm afraid not.
When you get a chance to watch it, can you please tell me how accurate you think it is? Just get back to me and say, hey, you know what, I watched that film. It is very accurate, it's great, it's very inaccurate, it's crap.
I will, but may I ask, it is based solely on the poem itself?
No, it isn't. It is a very loose adaptation.
I will watch it and I will let you know of what I think.
As for the being a dreamer, you said earlier, you know, if life has taught me anything over the years is that, you know, if you want your dreams to come true, you just need to wake up and to do something about it. So, yes, dreams are the foundation of making this world a better place. But then I guess you're doing it. You are writing poems. You have published 7 books already, and how many more are on the way? So, in a way, thank you very much for doing this. And me personally, I've read your poems, and I'm going to mention on the notes how I have used your poems and how they impacted me in my writing. So, you know what? You are doing something.
Thank you very much for the nice words, and I've heard the short story that you published on your podcast, and I think it's lovely too. It's a very nice adaptation to the point of what I attempt to express with those poems.
Thank you very much for coming on my show tonight. As I said in the beginning, I very much appreciate it, and thank you very much for your insight as well.
It was my pleasure. Thank you very much.
But at least have a nice evening. And always, stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
As we are nearing the end, please give me a review and don't forget to share and subscribe. You can find all of my podcasts, film reviews and analysis on my website kgpfilmreviews.com. If you also feel like supporting my effort to explore the genre, please feel free to support me on patreon.com/kgpfilmreviews. Any support is much appreciated and valued. Turning poetry into a film is apparently harder than it sounds. The screenwriter needs to deeply understand the poem before attempting to adapt it. The director needs to deeply understand both before they turn the spec script into a shooting script. The rest of the cast and crew need to understand both as well, I guess, so to me it sounds quite intricate. My intention is to find a director who has done a movie that was based originally on a poem and ask them how they, but also their crew, approached it. So thank you for staying with me all the way. These podcasts are for horror fans who have the passion to delve into the horror genre to its core. Feel free to make requests, suggestions, or ask about anything you would be interested in discovering about the genre and its echoing aftershock to the world we live in. Horror elicits fear through fiction and terror through facts. It is gory and it is psychological. It is caused by supernatural entities as much as it is caused by our deranged next-door neighbor. Horror can haunt our nightmares no less than it can haunt our questionable reality. So remember, the son of Erebus and Nyx always awaits to cross the rivers Styx and Acheron.